Okay, let's get started. I would say pay attention to Rabbi Kellman, but that's not...
That's what I said about everybody else. I don't know.
Okay, the Gemara tells us that kol tani chein bo miposhe Yisrael eino tanit. Any fast day that does not include the sinners of Israel is not a fast day. In order to be deemed a fast day for our community, that is to be worthy of a possible day of merit, of repentance, we have to include our sinners. And the term, of course, poshe Yisrael is not just a sinner. A pesha means a sin, not just an intentional sin. An intentional sin, lahachis. I really don't enjoy the sin, but I know it bothers you if I sin. So I'll eat the trefa sandwich to make you upset. I'm mad at my parents, so I rebel against them. That's a posheya. So any fast day that doesn't have the poshe Yisrael, this is not a fast day. It's not a fast. The Jewish people, there's some people off in the corner. A fast day has to include everybody. And the Talmud says we derive this from the fact that the ketoret, the incense that we put in the temple, had 11 spices in it, and one of the spices was a chalbana. We say it every morning in Pitu Machtoret. And the spice, Chabana, had a lousy smell. And but that was irrelevant. When you put the Chabana with all the other spices, it smelled fine. It smelled fine. So the sinner has to be, the Ktoret is no good. If you are Makriv the Ktoret, if you bring 10 of the 11 spices for the incense, you did not perform any mitzvah. That is not allowed. So from here, the Talmud derives, you always have to have sinners whenever the community comes together and fast. We know in truth, we say this on Yom Kippur. We begin our Yom Kippur davening, al dada makom, al dada kal hakahal, with the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the community. Anu matirim li palelim aryanim. We welcome the sinners to daven. Yes, sinners, you need a heter, but we welcome and we encourage our sinners to come on Yom Kippur. The question is, why is this so important? Why is it important to daven with sinners? So I'll say it's late. Why is it so important? Anybody want to venture a guess? Why is the Talmud so insistent? You have 10 righteous people. They sit there and they learn and they get stuck and they're honest in business. People, religious Jews. And they have 10 religious Jews or 100 Jews like this. And there's nobody who cheats, nobody who talks lashon hara, nobody who doesn't learn, nobody who doesn't go to minyan, doesn't really count much. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, we'll come. So, you're helping the community. For the communal, our togetherness of the community, we know, kol Yisrael arevim ze bezeh. The Jewish people are raving, are co-signers. We translate in English are responsible. And arev means more than arev means that you're like a co-signer on a mortgage. So if he doesn't pay, you have to pay. So when he sins, I pay. We're a raving. So we have to. That could be on the simple level. Yes. Absolutely. Sibur, the word is to gather all together. Litzaber. Sibur is a gathering. Sibur, Tzadik, Benoni, and Rasha. Yeah, Larry. Excellent. I like that. Good. You'll come to recognize, what I mean, the sinner's you. In other words, any tanit that doesn't, because the purpose of the tanit, as Rabbi Skolbeck mentioned, is not haphazard. We have to evaluate this. The Rambam really elaborates. We have to elaborate. So we recognize the sinner. By seeing other sinners, we may see our sin in ourselves, if I think that's what you're saying. Okay, good. All this is true, of course. And one could argue, one argument, the notion of kiruv. You know, we want to bring the sinners closer to God, so we have to welcome them. We bring them. Baruch Hashem, by the way, we don't have any problem. We all follow this mitzvah. Don't worry. No, I don't know any shul that doesn't have any sinners. But we don't worry about it. But.
So you're saying that we're here now, we are not sinners?
I didn't say that. I said amongst the people here, there have to be sinners. If somebody wants to volunteer, I'll be the local sinner to come. Okay. It doesn't say who the sinner is. It says included in the community. It says like in the Torah. But it's interesting, actually. I say that, you know, with half-jokingly, but of course, some of the commentators actually point out it's not coincidental. The Torah has 11 spices. You have 10 spices, 10 righteous Jews for the minyan, then you can bring in the 11th spice. But if you only have everybody sinners, that's not such a great shul either. You don't want to go to a shul, we'll get there, that's everybody sinners. If you have 10, that's right. Halakhically, that is a question we generally assume. We do count, you know, sinners as part of a minyan. Because the concept of the minyan is derived from the Meraglim, the origins of Tisha B'Av, the Meraglim, the 10 people. They weren't so righteous, but yet that's the basis of the notion of a minyan. But clearly, as we'll see, the idea is not to have a minyan only of sinners, but it's the minyan included is to have sinners in the shul. So the... I thank for all your insights. The Meshech Chokhmah takes, I think maybe it's been alluded to a little bit, and really the Meshech Chokhmah says something that the Rabbi Hecht was actually talking about in a slightly different context. Meshech Chokhmah died, I believe, in 1926, was a Rav in Dvinsk, wrote a commentary on the Rambam, and he wrote a well-known commentary, I guess, on the Chumash, a three-volume work. The Meshech Chokhmah is has a lot of beautiful insights. So the Meshech Chokhmah says, we're not davening with sinners to help the sinners. We're not davening with the sinners even because we're afraid they want the weak community. We should look inwards, look at our sin. But we're davening with the sinners because only when we daven with the sinner can we ourselves become a better person. Not because we see our sin, but the sin itself can make us a better person. That, and he explains that it says in the Gemara that Rishayim, when you have sinners and they're spread out, it's na'el Rishayim v'na'el olam. When the sin is spread out, it's very good for the world. Meaning sin has something very positive in it if it's used properly. The Ketoret isn't just that we eliminated the smell. The Chavana no longer stunk because you had 10 nice other spices. The 10 other spices smell better. Sort of like if you put in vinegar or something. You can put in a very not nice smelling thing, but that makes everything else. In chemistry, the two things coming all together, it now smells a lot better. So the sinner has the potential to make us better people, not in spite of the sin, but because of his sin. Because of his sin, we become better people, and more importantly, we become a better community. How does this happen? So he explains simply that he uses the example, a person likes to talk Lashon Hara. The three examples he gives, interestingly, for sinners are people who are money hungry, who love money. And as we mentioned earlier in the morning, the Talmud Yerushalmi claims that the reason for the destruction of the temple was based on our love of money. Love of money leading to friction in the Jewish people. Love of money or gossip. We talk Lashon Hara, of course. And anger. That people have tempers. It's interesting. Those are the three examples of sins he gives. So he says that a sinner, if he's one of a few, it's pizur. The sinners are spread out. So then the Chalbana works together. Now you have 11. It's not you have 10 good spices and 1 bad spice, and I have 11 good spices. There are 11 good spices that have a beautiful smell because the sinner will see how people use money. He will begin to learn the importance of staka. That's really the aspect of helping of the sinner. That's true. He'll see, or the sinner will see how to properly channel our hatred. As Rabbi Hecht was talking about, hatred has a role. We have to learn how to channel it. So on the one level, it's good for the sinner. That's the first level. Because the sinner is spread amongst us. He will learn. He will improve. But it's also better because we will improve. How do we... Let's assume we're on the non-sinner side, right? Obviously, we all sin. But what do you mean we improve? So just to give a few simple examples. Often, you know, if you want to know If you don't recognize who our enemy is, we're in big trouble. It's very important to know those who are against it. I mentioned also in the morning in the keynote that America, unfortunately, did not know its enemy till 9/11. We discovered too late who our enemy was. And it's very, very dangerous if we don't know who our enemy is. And our enemies have lots of qualities we can learn from. The vigor and determination that they have is really unparalleled. We'd like to point out, Rav Kook, I believe, was the one who said that Avodah Zarah, the term Avodah Zarah, means worship of God, which is foreign worship. Al Shloshad Marim Ha'olam Amed. Avodah is one of the three pillars of the world. Avodah Zarah is in many ways a wonderful thing, if you can say it. People are yearning for God. They're yearning for God. However, they made a little bit of a mistake. It's strange. It's not the proper way to get to God. And that little strangeness makes it a cardinal sin. It can be terrible. One has to give up one's life. But the striving for God is wonderful. The problem we have in the Western world, we don't have any Avodah Zarah. Halavai we had, when we look in the first temple period, there was a lot of idol worship. It means they were cognizant of God. When people at least are worshiping idols, God is in their world. When you have a community that worships money or secularism, that's worse than Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, at its very least, has Avodah. It starts with Avodah, but it's Avodah gone wrong. Avodah gone wrong can be very, very dangerous, very dangerous. As we see, it was also mentioned, more people are killed in the name of religion than any other cause, and religion misplaced is very, very dangerous. Just like it has the tremendous strength for evil, but the tremendous strength to do what is positive in the world. So by looking at our enemies, we can look there how determined they are. We can look how they go about to ensure that they can get their message of hatred across. And that's something we can learn from. We know that the Talmud tells us that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzaddik Gamur. That b'makom shebali tshuva omdim, in a place where penitents are standing, ein tzaddikim gemurim, a righteous person, a fully righteous person, cannot stand. So why is that so? It's not fair. It almost feels it's better if I sin and I do tshuva because I can reach a higher level than a tzaddik. So, remember a number of years ago, Reverend Soloveitchik Zatzal gave a talk at Yeshiva University, and I mentioned the story in the past. He spoke how he was reading Freud as a youngster, and his mother, who came from was a Feinstein. And a relative of the famous Feinstein. And they were a very cultured family into secular learning. But Rav Aaron's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, initially the Brisker heritage, the Soloveitchik heritage, was to be a Torah-only approach. Later on, parts of the family developed another approach. So he was afraid to tell his father he was reading Freud. And his mother insisted that he tell his father. And he said that he was reading that Freud had said that Shlomo HaMelech knew who the mother was when they're fighting over the kid, not because the one who was the mother said, don't kill the baby, but it's the one who wasn't the mother said, you can't kill the baby. Sort of it's not that, because the power of hatred, Freud knew, that's the one who says to kill the baby. Ah, that's the one we can look at, because the power of hatred is much greater than the power of love. And we know how true that is. We know we use any excuse in the world, obstacles, right? I'll just quote all the other speakers. That's the advantage. When I speak at the end, all I do, I take notes for all the speeches, and I just say what they said. So we have obstacles, that they're great obstacles. Yeah, it's too cold, I won't get a minion, I learned already, it's too much, I have a headache. But to get back at somebody, to do evil, that, the excuses don't go. So the power of hatred is much greater. The Baal Tshuva carries with him that power of sinning. That power of sinning is more powerful than the power of a mitzvah. The yearning, the desire to sin is much greater. So when a Baal Tshuva takes that power and then transfers it to the mitzvah, he's on a much higher level. A tzaddik really can't reach that level. We all know that. Anybody, when you meet Baal Tshuva, especially the beginning of their process, they're very into it. Sometimes we think they're too much into it. They're excited. It's great. You know, he's a Baal Tshuva. We think, but they have that fervor for the mitzvah that we don't have. And that's why it's so important to learn, not from the Baal Tshuva we see, they're on a much higher level, But even before they're Baalei Tshuva, even when the person before is the Baal Tshuva, you look at the power that they have, and if we can transfer that into our mitzvah observance, then that will make us so much better. You don't learn, you have to be exposed. You have to be exposed to people who are sinners. Rav Soloveitchik explains this. Rav Soloveitchik, his brother, Rav Yosef Dovber Soloveitchik, has an Ala Tshuva, whole analysis of the greatness and the higher level that a Baal Tshuva can reach. You know, if you think of some of the silly examples, you know, I always think, if you watch a football game, it used to be in Minnesota, now they have a dome stadium, I think, but it used to be in December, and the Vikings would be in the playoffs, be 25 below zero, and you got 20 fans there without any shirts on. You know, with the right on the crayons, Vikings, you know, this guy's got a V and an I, and they sit there in the stadium. It's 20 below zero. Or in Buffalo, I haven't watched the game in a while, but they have, I imagine. So people do meshuga things. They love their sports. They love their teams. What they do, they line up all night for a rock concert to get tickets to buy Clinton's book, I guess. They were lining up the night before. It's a Rachmanis. It's very sad. But you know what? But if people line up to buy Bill Clinton's book, so maybe we should line up to buy a new Sefer. We should line up to bang the door. The shul's not open yet. They come at 6 o'clock and the shul. I'll be there at 4:30 more. So we think I'm crazy, right? It is a little bit. Okay, you don't do that every day. But maybe on Yom Kippur. Maybe on Shabbos, you'll show up early. You'll open up the door for a change. You'll go out. It's 20 below. I'm not going to go to Minyan. I have a shear. It's snowing. When was the last time you know a football fan who didn't go to a game because it was snowing? That doesn't stop anybody. That doesn't stop anybody. These simple things in life, very simple, but we don't have that. We don't have it. The truth of the matter, we say it every day in Birchas HaTorah. Asher kishanu mimitzvotav v'tzivanu lasok v'divrei Torah. The word asek is a business. Everybody knows to make more money. Who mentioned that? Who was talking about money? The businessman with the risk half their life, that was Rabbi Kaplan, I believe. They'll travel halfway around the world for 6 months, not knowing if they're going to make any money, because they might make money. They may make money. They'll put their whole life on hold for 6 months. When it comes to asek, when it comes to make money, our people lasok. Boy, do they get involved. And no businessman has ever said, I have enough money. So that has to be our approach to Talmud Torah. The bracha we say every morning, I learned 2 hours already. I want to learn a couple more hours. It's not enough to learn only 2 hours. I don't know what happened to the microphone, but okay. So that's not enough. That you're always looking to gain more. Asek. Do we have Asek v'Torah? Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. There are no righteous people who do not sin. We are taka all sinners. That was alluded to before. The Poshe Yisrael, every sin, we all are sinners. Don't think he's the sinner when we come to Shul. We're the sinner. We are sinners. So we normally interpret it, ain't tzaddik baretz. There's no righteous people who don't sin. I think what it really means is, ain't tzaddik baretz, you can only be a tzaddik if you sin. Ain't tzaddik baretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechtav. There's no tzaddik unless he sinned. Not there's no tzaddik who hasn't sinned. You can only become a tzaddik if you've sinned. Because the only way we can grow as people is through sinning. The only way a kid can learn how to walk and how to run is when he falls. And when he falls off the bicycle, that's the only way you can learn. And the only way you can learn in learning is to give a not great favorites. The only way to learn ain't a baishan lomate. The only way you can learn is to make mistakes when you try to figure out a Gemara. The only way you can be a tzaddik is by making mistakes. And by sinning, sinning has power. Sinning has tremendous power. The chavana, we have to learn how to channel our sin. We have to learn what to do with our sin. But ain't tzaddik baretz. You can only be a tzaddik if you sin. I think that's very important, just on a psychological level. Rabbi Heft was talking on tochacha, on rebuke, how we live in a generation, the Talmud says, where people don't know how to give any rebuke, and people especially don't know how to accept rebuke. People don't like to hear rebuke. And the Talmud said, right, as he pointed out, he alluded to it quickly, therefore all the halachot of hating people can't apply anymore. Because if you don't give a proper type of a rebuke, you cannot have anything against such a person. So we live in a generation, we don't like rebuke. We don't like when the rabbi tells us what we're doing wrong. It doesn't work. Maybe in Europe it worked a little bit. The fire and brimstone speech, you know, that they used to give the mashgiach in the yeshiva. If you go to a movie, you're going to burn in Gehenna, and if you do this, you know, that doesn't resonate with us. We have to give people uplifting types of talk. Not what you're doing wrong. That doesn't work. Uplifting. You're sinning. That's great. Now let's take the sin and merge you into a tzaddik. That don't be depressed when you sin. That's the only way to grow as a person. The only way to grow is by sin. Now that doesn't mean we have to run out and sin and do what we can, right? But don't be depressed when you sin. That's normal. It's normal to sin, and sin therefore we have to view it as, again, a challenge, an opportunity to grow. The Haftorah we read on Shabbos, you say it, I believe, on the Yomim, we say it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Im yuchatatechem kashanim kashele yalbinu. If our sins will be, how do they translate, like scarlet, it will whiten like snow, Im yadimu katola katsemer yuyu. If they are red, or if they are red like crimson, they'll become like wool. The Meshech Chachma, same Meshech Chachma who we quoted early, explains in his commentary that there are two ways we sin. We can sin where sin is external to our being. It's white. We can purify ourselves from the sin. The sin does not seep into our skin. Matter of fact, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on the Metzorah, which we view as a punishment of Motzi Shemra for speaking Lashon Hara, it says, Adam Kiyeh Bo'or Bisaro. When a person has on the skin, on the outer of his skin, negas, a prophet, he's got a scab, he's got something there. And the Or HaChaim Kaddish points out, as long as the sin, the negas on top of the skin, we're okay. But if you look at when it seeps into the skin, when it's level with the skin, that's when we're in big trouble. As long as the sin, yeah, we sin. But as long as the sin is not who we are, the sin is a sidetrack, but it's not our essence, that's okay. But if our sin becomes who we are, yadimu, red, then it's terrible. And he explains that is the difference between the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. Everybody, we know the second base of Mikdash, for 1900 years we are mourning, because the first temple, even though the sins were pretty harsh, somehow it wasn't who we really were. It got in the way, even if people killed, even when sometimes kills, it sounds in a sense harsh to say, but they may have other qualities that are good. It's not necessarily their whole essence, but the character, the sinat chinam, that was got into our blood system. Or as we may put it in a different light, that it's much harder to change a character trait than to change an action. Everybody knows that. And the Rambam writes in Hilchot Tshuva that the real essence of tshuva is not that I ate kosher and I did something wrong on Shabbos and I stole a little bit on my taxes. You have to do. Yeah, that is important to do tshuva. But the real tshuva is not to be a stingy person anymore. It's not to be an angry person. Not to be a baal lashon hara. Everybody talks lashon hara. To talk lashon hara, occasionally, all right. But if you're a baal lashon, and the Rambam talks about, you can be a baal lashon, a master of lashon hara. Like a balabai. He's a baal lashon hara. So in the first temple, it was action. We did terrible things. But it wasn't our character. Sinat chinam, indifference to other Jews, not caring for other Jews, that seeps into our character. And that's so much harder to change. As Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, it's easier to learn through all of Shas, which isn't so easy, to learn the entire Shas than to change one character of somebody. To change one character takes a lot of work. And that's the problem. When sin seeps into us, that's when we have problems. But as long as sin is external, as long as sin is a springboard for change, don't be upset when you sin. View that I fell off the bike, I'm going to get up, I'm going to run even more. The Netziv quotes that, you know, every morning we say the bracha. Rabbi Hecht quoted the Netziv a lot too, right? It's great. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. God created the night and the day. Oseh shalom, right? That's the bracha. Ubara, we say ubara et hakol, right? We say At Hakol. Right. We say Barat Hakol. God created everything. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Bara Ra. God created everything. People every day to come to shul to say God created bad, we wouldn't like it. So our rabbis created a euphemism. God created everything. Everything includes Ra. But the origin of the Pasuk is that God created Ra. And the Netziv explains, if God created Ra, then Ra is Tov. Then there's a place for Ra in this world. There's a place for evil. You have to know how to use it, as Rabbi Hech said. You have to know how to channel the hatred. It's very hard. But Ra has a place. The example he gives is by Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu lied. He lied to his father, Sheker. But sometimes Sheker is necessary. Sometimes Sheker is something that we have to do. But it's very interesting. He quotes in his commentary on Bereshit. I think it's such a powerful idea. It says, you know, when Esav came to claim his bracha, so Yitzchak got very nervous. It says he was trembling. And as I mentioned, Rashi quotes, the gates of Gehenim opened. Yitzchak realized he made a mistake his whole life. Yitzchak was really bothered by Yitzchak was trembling and shaking. Oh my God. And then by Esav, the Pasuk says, what does the Pasuk say? By Yitzchak Tzaka Gedola Umara, that he cried a deep and bitter cry, I believe. And the Medrash comments that because of that cry that Yaakov Avinu made Esav do, so during the time of Haman, the Jewish people went out into the street, and the same language is used, and it says, the Jews in Shushan had a cry. So Chazal point out, everything in life has a consequence. Maybe you lie, it may be lie, but everything, don't think God forgets anything. Yaakov stole the bracha from Esav. He made Esav cry a bitter cry. The Jewish people, a couple thousand years later, are going to cry a bitter cry. The Netziv asks a simple question. Why does the Medrash pick on Esav? Why doesn't the Medrash pick on Yitzchak? Yaakov made Yitzchak very upset. And he made Esav very upset. Right? They were both. Yitzchak is trembling, and Esav is yelling and screaming. So why does the Medrash say, because Yaakov made Esav upset, the Jewish people have to suffer? Why not say, because of the sin he caused unto Yitzchak? So, we're not talking here on unforgiveness. We're talking about God's midah of justice. You know, we've already said, Yikov Adin at the heart. God forgets nothing. Whoever, God is so exacting. Everything is done. I hear what you're saying, but so what the Netziv explains is, you know, he had no choice. His father was making a mistake. Sheker, Yot Ubarara. There's a place for lies in this world. He didn't have a choice. They had to somehow figure a plan. They had to connive like Yitzchak a little bit. But he said, and did Yaakov want to do it? No. His mother had to beg him. Listen, Yaakov said, he's going to spill. I don't want it. Yaakov is running away. He doesn't want to hurt his father. But his mother convinced him, you have to do it. I'm sorry. There's a place for Sheker in this world. So he did it. Yaakov is the Ish Emet. Yaakov learns what happens when you tell a Sheker. But he had to do it. But he said he was very upset. He was very bothered he hurt his father. But with Esav, do you think Yaakov didn't have a little bit of joy that he made his brother upset? His brother, they hated each other. He wanted to later on kill him. So he says, Yaakov Avinu, when he cheated his brother, it wasn't 100% L'shem Shemayim. He had a little bit of joy. Ah, I'm going to get back at my brother. He sold me the birthright already. What's he upset at me? What does he want from me? So Yaakov Avinu had a little bit of joy. And then he points out such a powerful idea. It's a scary idea. That if sometimes we have to sin, but the sinning has to be L'shem Shemayim. The sinning, when we have to hate people at times. We have to harm people. That's life. I always say that in terms of leadership. That's why it's so important, Be'emunah, because leaders, by definition, have to hurt people. They have to make choices that impact negatively on people. That's the definition of a leader. You must. You have a choice. But you have to do it not out of joy. You have to do it out of, if you're a leader for the wrong reason, making decisions for monetary purposes, oy vai voy. But do it Be'emunah. Okay, what can one do? So it's true Yaakov Avinu had a lie. but you can't get any pleasure out of lying. So for that, for what he did to Yitzchak, he wasn't punished. But what he did to Esav, he had to be punished. His descendants have to be punished. To tie in with some of the previous like talks, yes, we sometimes we have to fight evil. And there is halacha, like an apikoros, etc., etc. But you have to do it not because you don't like the person. You have to do it because you have to do it. You don't want to do it. It's not that we love to hate the person. That's why, as a matter of fact, the Tosfot quote, there is a halacha, you know, that if your neighbor is has a donkey, we'll keep it in the original, you know, case of the Torah, and it has a burden, so you have to take off the burden, help him unload the burden, help him load a burden. So the Gemara says, what if, what comes first? You have one neighbor has to load, one neighbor has to unload. So you unload first. Because unloading, the animal is suffering, so take the load off, and then go to your other neighbor. The Talmud says, however, there's an exception. If the neighbor who is unloading is somebody you like him. And the neighbor who is loading, you hate his guts because he's a sinner. Who else do you hate? He's a non-religious Jew, a heretic. We hate him. So then you have to help the person load first. The animal, you know why? Because you have to crush that feelings of hatred towards him. And the only way you crush him, yes, the animal will suffer more, but in the hierarchy of Judaism, developing the character of human beings is more important than the suffering of animals. So the halacha says in this case, where this guy who you have to help load is evil and you hate his guts, that's the guy you help first, then you'll unload your friend. It's more important we do mitzvah to our enemies than to do mitzvah to our friend. You have to sometimes do negative things to people. Don't do it with joy, the way we often might. Do it out of a sense of, what can I do? I don't have any choice. The Torah, this past Shabbos, it's mentioned, we just, you know, it's worth it just to read the words and not to say anything. Just read it and, you know, when and actually pay attention and translate. God hates our yontif. He doesn't want us to trespass. As we spoke, he hates empty ritual. Your sacrifices are worthless. And then it says, Lotosipu habi minchat shav. Do not bring the flower offering, which is empty. Ketoret toeva. Your ketoret, your incense, the 11 spices are toeva, are an abomination. It's not that it's meaningless. It's bad. When you bring because you were think the temple is a way, I sin, I come, I wash my hands. God said, don't bring it. It's worthless. It's a worthless korban. And the Ketoret is a toeva. The Meshra Chachma asks, why does Yishayahu HaNavi pick on the Korban Mincha and the Ketoret? Why not say Korban Ola, Korban Shlamim, Korban Chat? I would have said a Korban Chatat. Your sin offerings are worthless. You think you can sin and bring an offering. That's meaningless. So why does he use a Korban Mincha? Korban Mincha is the only Korban which is made of flour. All the other sacrifices are animals or birds. But the Korban Mincha is flour. So why does he went and the Ketoret? Your Ketoret is a toeva. So the Meshul Chacham explains the purpose of the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, is to unite all Jews. The Ketoret, the uniting of all the Jews. The Jews come together in a central place of focus. It says the second Beis Hamikdash, Sinat Chinam, the Jewish people are disparate, are separate. The halach is that a Korban Mincha cannot be brought in partnership. A Korban Mincha can only come as an individual Korban or come as a Korban Sibur, the Korban Omer. The Omer offering, for example, is a communal sacrifice. But it can't have a partnership. You have, like, quote-unquote, a corporation, you have an individual. But another Korban is you have an individual, a partnership, and, quote-unquote, a corporation of Klal Yisrael. But you can't have that by a Korban Mincha. So this is an allusion to the fact that Korban Mincha, the Shutafut, the partnership of the Jewish people had disintegrated. We weren't like one. But what's the Ketoret? So the Ketoret, the Meshra Chachma explained, he begins by saying, the Ketoret, you need the Chavana, you need the smelly spice, not just to cover up the smell, the 10 good spices, because the smelly spice, the sin can help us. We can learn from sinners. It can raise us. So it's new. That's only if the 11 spices are all together. But once the Jewish people, everybody did their own thing. So then you have a stinking spice. It's a toeva. To bring a smelly spice to the temple, the Ketoret stunk. The Chelbana was a lousy smelling thing. as long as the Jewish people are united, God smells the beautiful smell of 11 beautiful spices. Not 10 nice spices and one not nice spices. 11 beautiful spices. When the Jewish people are divided, so God smells each spice individually. We're not united. So then you're bringing a stinking sacrifice. I mean, pardon here the language, but believe me, the Nevi'im talk quite forcefully. So it's a toeva. Toeva is like the ultimate sin. It's an abomination to bring this type of a korban. That's what the Meshech Chachmon is saying. That's why Yeshayahu picks like dafka on the Torah. The Netziv himself explains, you know, this is, you have in a lot of concept that who was talking about smelling? Who talked about smelling? Huh? Mendel Kaplan talked about smelling. The whole thing, right? All the things, right? To smell and Yericho, Reya. Okay, I don't remember who said what, but okay. Talked about, so the notion, the Torah has the smell. Gemilut chasadim, acts of chesed are compared to the notion of smell, a reyach. As a matter of fact, we know by, also heard Rav Aaron Soloveitchik say that the lulav, you know, is made up, the lulav, the etrog, hadas, and arafot. Everybody knows four different types of Jews. The etrog smells wonderful, it tastes great. So that's the Jew who learns Torah, who does all the mitzvot. And the Aravis, no taste and no smell, that's the Jew who's, you know, he doesn't do anything. He's not a credit. But without the Arava, the whole set is possible. Again, it's the same concept. Without the Chavana, without the sinners in the mitzvah, the Lulav is possible. So what is the Hadas? So the Hadas has a nice smell, but it doesn't give off any fruit. So that's compared to the Jew who has, as Masim Tovim, he does chesed, but he doesn't have any Torah. He himself, he's not a religious person, but he does many nice, wonderful things. Many sinners do wonderful things. So he explains why is that? Because what's a smell? As we pointed out earlier, then walk into the room, Rabbi Michalowicz said it. You walk into the room, I smell trouble, right? I smell trouble. Smell, you smell at a distance. A good deed travels far. A person gives lots of tzedakah, his name is all over the world. We don't know if he's a nice guy or not. Many people give tzedakah, they're not so nice. Not so nice. Know what's going on now in the scandal in New York. Awful, awful story. But people can do ma'asim tovim from a distance because it's not the person. The smell is very good. When you see the person up close, you know, him, he's the guy you're honoring at the dinner because he gave a few $1 million. If you would know what he was like, there's no Torah. So that's why the Hadas gives off a nice smell. Masim Tovim, the smell, the good deeds. But the Torah, okay, that's the way the Chesed works. So you have this the same thing. The Ktoret is the smell. The Ktoret, the Chesed. When the Jewish people stop doing Chesed, this is sort of an alternate. He doesn't say this. The Nesiv isn't talking about here, but it can apply. It's the same thing. Since the Ktoret represents the Masim Tovim, the Chesed is a good smell. The Ktoret had a great smell. Once the Jewish people stop doing acts of Chesed, have seen a chinam, the Ktoret becomes a Toeva. God doesn't want the Ktoret. The message, therefore, of a fast day, a Tisha B'Av, of all year round, is the Jewish people are made up of sinners. That's us and them and all of us. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We like sin. Sin can be very positive. Sin is great in the growth process as long as you surround it. By the way, this is what he's saying is obvious. Everybody knows. And it's a terrible mistake in schools to take all the worst kids. That's what they often do. They dump the troublemakers into one class. They give a poor teacher 10 kids because they learn from each other. That's the worst class. Each one feeds off the other. You take 10 troublemakers and you put them in... Huh? That was the other example I was going to use. Exactly. That's why prisons never work for rehabilitation. Because they learn from all their friends. You take a prisoner and you put him in a yeshiva, wherever he is, then he'll rehabilitate. He's not going to, I hope, he's not going to rehabilitate in prison, and the kids are not going to rehabilitate in the classroom. Or to give a more proud, we don't go to prison, I hope, and we're not in school anymore, but we're in shul. And I heard that there are shuls where people actually talk in the middle of davening. That's what I was told. I don't know if I can go and believe such aspects of Lashon Hara. But you know what? You take a talker and you put him you put him into a yeshiva where it's quiet, where nobody would dare open their mouth, that same guy who can't keep his mouth shut for 2 seconds, from 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, he's quiet all of a sudden. But there was, right? That guy, you put him in yeshiva, he won't say a word. Because the shul, nobody talks. Pizur l'rashayim. When you separate the evil, when you separate the sin, it's great. When you put all the talkers together, you've got an awful shul. So that's exactly the klal they're saying. It's good to have talkers in shul. Bring them into the shul. Put them in the shul where nobody talks. Put them inside shul. You can give many examples. That's just a very simple example. We grow from sin. Sin can be very, very, very positive as long as it remains external to us. And sinat chinam, of course, is also was alluded, is the indifference that we show to other people. It's not actual hatred, right? The indifference, not being concerned, not reaching out. We have to be bothered by sin. And when we have to act against sinners, we have to do it with pain. You know, I just like to point out, the mitzvah, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you have to love our neighbor as yourself. Rabbi Akiva, zeh klal gadol b'Torah, this is the fundamental principle of the Torah. So it's followed in the Chumash by what mitzvah? What's the next mitzvah following v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? Look in the Chumash. If you look, it's in Kedoshim, everybody, Kedoshim to you, Ishimova, Vitira, Loti Konva, Loti Tor, pay your workers on them, beautiful, Lifneiver, Loti Temichshol, Lotakaloch, Erish, all the nice moral things are in chapter 19 in Vayikra. Then the climax, Vafta Larecha, you have to love your neighbor. What's next? New? No, Los Tisna Techicha Vilvavecha, which was Rabbi Hecht's talk, is a few psukim earlier. What, don't cheat. Okay, cheat. Okay, the next pasuk is it's bemtecha lo tizra kilayim, something like tazria. Right, the animals kilayim shatnes. You cannot plant a vineyard and wheat together, and you can't wear wool and linen, you know, garments. I mean, please give me a break. You know, shatnes is one of these mitzvot that we make fun of, as Rashi quotes. But we're on a high. Don't take revenge and be nice to people. Give rebuke. Don't hate people. Love people. Don't wear wool and linen. I mean, come on. It ruins the whole pitch. So what's going on here? So I think I heard in the name of Dennis Prager that what's shatnes? So shatnes is mixtures, right? You cannot mix different elements. What's the problem? Why is it so hard for us, the mitzvah of ahavta l'reacha kamocha? Because we only like people who are like us. We like kamocha, when they're like us. V'ahavta kamocha, we like them when they're like us. But we don't like people who are different. That's our nature. We gravitate to people. So the Torah says, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and the mitzvah of shatnes, in a sense, go hand in hand. When you wear clothes, you can't wear wool and linen. But when you have people, animals don't go together, mixtures. Clothes don't go together. People go together. You have to have a shatnes of people. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha has to be followed by the notion of shatnes. I was thinking a while back, I was commenting, you know, the Meshech Chochma has a very famous comment that there's a difference between a community and an individual, and God judges individuals. You know, did you learn Torah? Did you go to Minyan? Were you honest? You know, that's how he judges us as individuals. All the mitzvah and Torah. But a community he judges with only one factor. Did you get along as a community? And it quotes that, we don't have time now, but even idolatry. If a community is united, even if they were avodah zarah, there's some positive elements, as we discussed. Even a community, but they're united, God can tolerate that. God doesn't get upset. But a community where they're righteous, like the second Beis Hamikdash, they learn Torah, but they're sinat chinam, God can't stand that. God much prefers a unified, non-religious community to a religious, non-unified. That's the point he makes. The Meshech Chochma quote. He quotes one famous example is Noach. Is the Mavul and Dor HaPlaga. The people of Noah's generation were involved in thievery. They stole money. They cheated each other in business. But they were otherwise, you know. But the Dor HaPlaga, idolatry. What's worse? Idolatry is worse than stealing. No. But God said, but they were united. They built a tower of Babel together. So God didn't wipe them out. He dispersed them. He didn't wipe them out. The Mavul, he wipes out. That's a comment of the Meshech Chachma. You've heard already the comment of the Netziv Sefer HaYashar. We spoke about it here on Shabbos, actually, and why you have to reach out to Jews who you don't like. And the Netziv points out by Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. He hated what Sodom and Gomorrah they stood for, but he prayed for their welfare. The point, the Netziv died in 1893, I believe. The Meshech Chachma I mentioned died in 1926. They both lived in Eastern Europe. It's very interesting. I know more on the Netziv, whatever, but both in the Netziv, when the debate on separatism and the Orthodox separating from the Reform movement, which is one of the causes of Shimshon Rifal Hirsch that has carried the Orthodox world now, for better or for worse, that seems to be the dominant view. That was the view of Hirsch in Germany. The Netziv had a diametrically opposed view. I find it very interesting. You tie in the Parshanut, this is a little dangerous when you sort of want to tie in their life views to their Parshanut and stuff. But it's clear the Netziv saw the organic whole of the community, and he was a strong supporter of Zionism, one of the few great early rabbis who supported the Chovev Beit Zion movement. We know Zionism was not, even though it seems before political Zionism, still it was not a dominant view. And he was very much opposed to splitting of shuls, to make a separate shul. He has a tshuva, how terrible it is when people make shuls all over the place. There should be one community shul. And he talks about how terrible it is, the Orthodox and Reform, we may be against them, but we can't separate from them. We have to be part of the community. I find it resonates with what he says. The Meshech Chachma, I know, was somebody who was a supporter. The well-known one said that in the Balfour Declaration, that whatever the Gemara of the Gimel Shvuot means for another time, but the Meshech Chachma said that with the Balfour Declaration, we can go back to the land of Israel and we should support. This is already is after political Zionism, and all the people in Israel are a bunch of apikorsim, you know, quote unquote. And yet the Meshech Chachma understood the yearning, let's say, of the non-religious people that we have. But that is the message. Maybe to give one suggestion, it's all very nice. Everything we say on Tisha B'Av is all very nice. We go home and we eat. What did you learn? I don't know. I heard so many speeches. I don't remember who said what. But I don't. You know, how can anybody remember who said anything? Too long a day. You know, it was very nice when I was there, like Rabbi Kaplan was talking about. When he was at a Rav Aaron Shear, he understood it was a great shear, but he can't tell you over what he said. It was an inspiring day. I don't know what, but it was inspiring. So, okay, better than nothing, but that's not our goal here. Our goal is to come out with something, you know, practical. So I would say, we'll start simple. I'm not saying everything is all obvious. Just invite one neighbor for Shabbos who's not religious. Over the next month, between now and Rosh Hashanah, everybody should invite one person who lives on their street who they may never talk to. And I was actually going to start. I don't have time. I got an email, actually, this week from somebody who moved. I printed it out. I asked her if I could read it, and she had said yes, but I'm not going to. But she moved from a small town where she said, very few Jews, but because they learned to be tolerant of each other, it didn't matter if you went to a Reform temple and someone at the Orthodox Kila, or another decided dues paying wasn't their thing, so hung around, got Chabad on the holidays. The important thing that brought us all together was simply being... we are Jews. So here we are in Toronto. I drive up Bathurst Street and caught off by the depth and the breadth of the wealth of our community, the abundance of restaurants, kosher food, etc., etc. Day schools left and right, literally and figuratively. And in spite of the many opportunities in the Jewish community of Toronto, I am dumbstruck by the lack of respect among us. I have yet to meet many of my neighbors, and I'm being advised that I never will, as they daven at a different shul, and my family and I are just not, quote-unquote, religious enough. I know very few people from outside the circle of friends I met at my children's school and at shul. On Shabbos, as we walk to and from shul quite often, the people we pass keep on walking with their eyes straight ahead. Our warm wishes for a good Shabbos. There's just a huge gap in the fabric of Jewish life in Toronto, et cetera, et cetera. You get the tone of the message. So she is lamenting the fact, what can we do? By the way, I don't know this person. So why is she sending me an email? That's okay. She's on my email. She got the Dvar Torah I wrote. So she says I know her. But anyway. That's all. Forget everything I said. invite a sinner into your house, quote unquote, not only us, invite a non-religious neighbor, that's the key. If they're Shomer Shabbos, it doesn't count. It's very nice. You can do that as a friend. But as the mitzvah from Tisha B'Av, invite one non-Shomer Shabbos neighbor, knock on his door, invite them for a Shabbos meal. And that's how we can reach out to Geula, step by step. It begins slowly, but it pips. And until eventually we get to the point. And the Talmud tells us the hero, we know the hero of Tisha B'Av is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the one who saved Jerusalem, who understood the meaninglessness of empty ritual, who said, give me Yavne. And what does the Talmud say about the greatness of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Shalo Hikdimu, nobody beat him to say Shalom Aleichem. Even the idolaters on the street. He was the first one to always say hello, to say a Shalom Aleichem. That's what Tisha B'Av is all about. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can be the hero, can understand how to build from Tisha B'Av because he said hello to his neighbors. Let us follow in the path of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Invite just one neighbor who's not Shomer Shabbos between now and Rosh Hashanah, and that can bring the step to the Geula Shalema. As a Jewish people, the Chalbana will all come together, all our spices, all the smells of the Jewish people can join together in a beautiful ketoret and a beautiful incense smell up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amen.